Okay, world. Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chof Beit. And because our Kapitan has presented himself, we got the full Monte over here. There we go. Give it to us, because we're right at the Halakha Mishnah.
Took the Halakha Mishnah.
Ha'isha she'amra. Eshet ish hayiti ugrusha ani. So we're continuing on with the issues of hapeshasa hu hapeshehiter, insofar as they will affect inyanim of ishus and her status. Is she muteret or not? So further indications of this is where the woman herself says, it's true that I was married, even though nobody knows, but, you know, I've been away for a long time. I got married, but I mean, I got divorced meanwhile. So then she's nemenet, because the only way we know she's married is because she said so. Up until now, we assumed that she was a pnuya. Whereas in the event that there are witnesses, she wouldn't be believed. And we'll be talking in the Gemara about precisely what cases the Mishnah is coming to teach us a chiddush on. Suppose she says that I was nishpet, so that I was kidnapped by goyim, but nonetheless, Tahorani, they didn't rape me. And now she wants to marry a kohen, or she wants to remain with a kohen. The halacha is there too. Nemen, shapesha asar hua pesha hitir. V'im yesh edim shenishpeit, v'hi omeret Tahorani, eina nemen. V'im mi shenishet bo edim, harezu lo tetze. And if after she goes in and gets married based on the heter, then she doesn't have to get divorced from her husband. Now, we're going to see which case this is referring to in the Gemara. Om Rabas, minayin la pesha asaru apesha itir min haTorah. We've been taking it for granted that this is a logical issue, and it's mitzad hasfora. How do we know that midoraita, there's a concept of pesha asaru apesha itir, sheneemar et biti natati le'ish hazeh le'isha. So the moment he said, et bitina tati le'ish, he answered her, because, okay, you're telling us that she's a married woman. So if she's a married woman, nobody is allowed to marry her at this point, right? And then you say, all of a sudden, hazeh. But when you say hazeh, you're being matir her to the person that you say you're married her to. So in other words, by creating the Isser, now we only know through him, the Torah was matir, him to take off the Isser afterwards. So this is very much of a problem, because Bepashtus, this is not a Peshasa Peshita situation. Because over here, if he's simply being masbir, the words that he said before, so then that should be part of a single act of Dibur. And if it's not betoch kidei dibur, so then it can't be working as amigo, which is something of a problem that because Tosfos holds that this works only as amigo. And furthermore, there's another problem. The other problem is that in general, we believe people who have biyadam to achieve a particular end. So in other words, since this individual definitely has the keach midoraisa to be mekadesh his daughter right now, so he's obviously going to be Ne'aman if he says, I did. Because if he wants to achieve that result, he can just go ahead and do it. In which case, there isn't really a need for a pusik to tell me a Peshas or a Peshayitir. So Tosfos has a number of issues that he contends with over here. Some of the various approaches of the different Balei HaTosafot include the suggestion that when we say, Et bitina tati li'ishazet, talking about where it was not the other. That maybe at this point she's already at an age where he is not able to be Makadasher, and he's telling us what was. Maybe that. Or perhaps to say that I can get somebody to marry my daughter when it's not so simple, no matter how much you pay somebody, they wouldn't want to marry his daughter, let me tell you. So that's not considered to be biyado. Biyado is only when you can achieve it all on your own. And furthermore, in terms of the problem of its being Neman even after Kedei Dibur, the Ri suggests that in a case where we're talking about what is a Hezber of what the individual said before, then it would be Nema and perhaps even Liachar Kedei Dibur, and we wouldn't be able to learn out from here a general halacha lagabe migo. Anyway, I'm just bringing up the issues that need to be taken into consideration over here. We're going to see that the Gemara develops this a bit further right now. What in the world do we need a pasuk for? I mean, all along, we assumed that a pesha, or a pesha yiter, is a svara, in the same way that migo is a svara. I mean, this is like a super migo, right? Even according to Rashi, it still has in it the same basic svara. If hu asara, vuhu sharila. I mean, what exactly is the issue? If he is the only source of the isser, then why in the world would it be a problem for him to define that isser? Right, you are, says the Gemara. The truth is that this pasuk is coming to tell me something else. Ki isser chkwala kerevuna amarav. The amar vuna amarav minayin la'av shene eman la'esoret pito min ha-torah. The point over here was is that he is believed to create the Isser. How do we know that? Because it says that biti natati leish. So all I'm saying over here is that if he says that he had married off his daughter, possibly even now where he's not able to, the Torah is saying, Exeris HaKosev as the Re puts it, that in this particular thing he's ne'eman. Okay, but you haven't explained the whole pasuk, have you? You haven't said why it needs to say hazeh. You only explained the first part of the pasuk. We were darshaning hazeh to mean the pesha asra pesha yiter. Ah, yes, forgot to tell you that. The hazeh is biboy leila kinetani Rabbi Yona. The tani Rabbi Yona et piti natati leish hazeh means the one who was originally married to her. But suppose that person had actually married her, and then he suddenly dies. Now the Yavam is the one who is taking her because she was only an Arusa, and he didn't even have a chance to find out if she was a Petula. Comes along the Yavam, and he says, oh my God, my poor brother was fooled into marrying this woman. The whole thing is a Mekachtosh, or if you hold of the Mekachtosh, obviously dependent on the issue before, and she was not a betula. So suppose he turns out to have been lying and so on, and he now takes the place of the deceased. What would have been the din if his brother had said that and turned out he would have been chayev, the knas and so on, right, in the Torah? So you would have thought, okay, in this case, the Yavam is standing in his place, and the Yavam now is the one that's going to be chayev in the knas. Kamash malan, that the entire halacha of Motzi Shemra is said only li'ish hazeh. It's said to the person who originally took her, and not, if he dies, about his brother, who is the Yavam. Okay, so now let's get back to the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan. Ha'isha she'amra eshet ish ani, v'chazra v'amra pnuya ani. So in the Mishnah, she said eshet ish ani, and then she said, but I got to get. That's a peshas or peshahiter. But what about in a case where she says something that contradicts what she said, not simply that explains her current situation as being other than the first part of her statement, but rather she says, I'm an Eshes Ish, and then she says, actually, I never got married. Ne'emenet. What? How could she be ne'emenet? I mean, it's all very nice to say she's ne'emenet in terms of the theory. Okay, fine. But Lamaisa, the moment that she said that she's married, she has created an isser on herself for marrying anyone else, right? Because as we saw before, Shavya Anavsha Chaticha de Isura is always true. No matter what the other constraints are on the case, and no matter what someone else would have, you're right. Let's say somebody else sleeps with her. So then she was an amenas because of Apeshaz. But she's not allowed to marry anybody else, is she? Because she said, I'm making a netter, basically, that I'm Asura. And therefore, how can she turn around and say that now all of a sudden she's Muteret? The Pesha Azar Pesha Yiter is not going to cover that, right? Omar Rava Baravuna Kugon Shinatna Amatla Lidvareha. She gives an explanation of what she was saying. Now, Rashi learns that the word amatla means literally mashal. Matla means a mashal. So in other words, what she has to do And she has to explain what it was that she said before in a way that's consistent with the words that she said. But those words were only meant as sort of a mashal, meaning, let's say we're going to have a case where she says to people, listen, I'm married, you know, and then she goes in and she accepts kedushin from someone. So we're going to have a case later on where when we asked her, I don't understand, didn't you say you're married? Yeah, what I meant was I'm unavailable, because it was just a nice way of putting off these schmoes that are coming around to try to be Mekadosh. I'm not interested in every Tom, Dick, and Harry coming along and giving me a ring. You know, I got to argue with them. I just tell them I'm married. I put on a little ring, you know. Lots of girls do that. They put on a ring or they go to class, you know, and people leave them alone. So that's what I meant. So in that sense, we're talking about really like a mashal. So it's a teirutz on what she said, meaning that there's two components of it. She explains the words. That's called the matla. And she says why she said those words. Why would she give a mashal like that? That is both included. So in English, it's translated usually as an excuse, an explanation. But the truth is, it's a more complex word that includes two completely different points. So she says what was meant and why it was meant. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned the same thing in this braisa. Amra Eshet Ishani. And then she suddenly turns around and says, not really. I'm not really married. Then she's not believed because she was already Shavian Havshachaticha de Yisura. Im natna amat lalet varea ne'emenet. And we'll tell you the maisa that really shows this beautifully because it brings out the mashal nature. Ma'ase nami b'isha achat gedola, sh'ayta gedola b'noi. It was this very choshva woman who was also beautiful. And obviously, everywhere she went, I mean, she's got everyone in the world is looking at her as the most suitable girl in the world. They're running and they're having their friends call her, and she's being absolutely besieged. They're all being comforted. They're basically jumping on her, and she can't take it. So she says to them, listen, you know, I'm sorry. I'm already married. That would have been nice, but see you later, alligator. Anyway, liyamim amda v'kichat tzma. So then a little bit later, she goes ahead, and she goes and finds a suitable guy, and she takes kedushin from him. So the Chachamim said, what's going on? Mara itlas, okay, I understand. You said that you're asura, and now suddenly you're going and accepting kedushin. You're not allowed to be married. Amralayan, nah, you don't understand. These are people that they're not even appropriate suitors. I got to look at them. So the easiest thing that I did, I said mekudeshet ani in order to mean that I'm not available. But akshav shebo'u anashim uganim, I finally was able to find people that are appropriate for my darga. So now I have an eligible husband. Amadati v'kidashti, that's me. So now I went ahead and it was makabel kedushin for one of them. It's wrong. V'zo halacha, this is as far as the price is concerned. You should know that halacha l'maisa, we can also bring you a maisa that was by Amoraim, because Rav Acha Sar HaBira, I don't really know what the Sar HaBira means over here. As Rashi says, just they used to call him. It's not clear whether it had anything to do. Obviously, in his time, there was no Beis HaMikdash, so it doesn't mean what it would normally mean. It might mean he was choshev enough, or it might mean that he was the Tsar of the Biraz somewhere. It might be that he was mayor of a capital of some province, whatever. But anyway, that's what they used to call it. Rav Acha Sar HaBira. So he went to Barnea's neighborhood, and he was there in Usha, and he asked them, what do we do? Because this might have happened to him. And they said, Im natna matla l'dvarei ne'emenet. And there was also a fascinating case that we actually had. This actually happened to Shmuel personally. A woman tells her husband, I am Anita. To me, I am Anita. And then the next day she comes back and she says, I'm not really Anita. Ha, I am Tohar. So what's the din? Can you be Samech on her? Was it Shavian Avshachatichat Yisura? And therefore, it's not clear whether the Shavian Avshachatichat Yisura actually is mafrich pesha asra pesha yitir, since she's not nemenes al atzma, or it only creates an isra on her. So let's say if she would be able to be matir her neder in some fashion, that would have been the same idea as an amatla. Anyway, what would be the din? So fine. So he tells Shmuel she would be ne'emenet. And Shmuel was makabel this from Rav with an amatla. And he reviewed it 40 times to make sure that it was clear, it was something that he wouldn't forget, that an amatla is fine. Tanamine arboim zimnim. But you know what? He forced his wife to go to the mikvah. He just couldn't bring himself to believe her. I mean, he knew the mitzvah, then it was okay. But just the fact that she'd even said the words to me, he wouldn't actually sleep with her on that basis. So, okay, now we had, remember, all of these issues about two Aiden and what the din would be of Hakasha, Lagabe, her status. We talked about this also in Yevamos. So now, what if we have two witnesses saying that a husband died when he went overseas on a business trip? But we have two other witnesses who say, no, actually, he was saved. Or, I'd say you have two witnesses who say her husband gave her a get, nidgarsha. And two say, no, he didn't. So, of course, the halacha is, if it's hakasha, she's not allowed to get married. However, if she did get married, she does not have to get divorced. Now, remember, talked about this in Yevamos. We understood the case as the Gemara is going to explain it now here in Ksuvos. But let's just give it a minute. Because Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi Omer, of course she needs to get divorced. But when do I say that? Omer Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi, when do I say that the Chachamim here who say that she does not have to leave him, and I disagree, that's only where first the Eidim came along and said that she's Asura. In other words, the Eide HaKosha had already appeared. And therefore, at that point, she was usher to do it. So since she went ahead and she was over on the Isser, we don't view that as a bidi avad. We're keneser as if it's the lechatchila. We would have told you, you absolutely cannot marry him. And we're telling you right now, you absolutely cannot remain married to him. Masha Ein Kein, I agree, says Rabbi Nachum Bar Yossi, that in the event that she was niseit v'acharkach bo'edim, if first she went in and got married, betom levav, and now these other witnesses come along and they say, no, it's not true, her husband didn't die, so then she does not have to get divorced. Lo teitzei. She says, Gemara, but this is crazy. What do you mean, lo teitzei? How can you say such a thing? We have a suffix d'oraisa, which is suffix shokol, because we have trey leave us completely in doubt as to what happened. So now, if we allow her to stay with her husband, imagine what you are saying. You're saying that every time this new husband sleeps with his wonderful bride, he's committing at least a suffix adultery, and he has to bring a carbon of an Ashram Toloi. I mean, that's nuts. So how in the world would we allow him to do something that's b'chayev him a carbon for a suffix Yisrkaris? Doesn't make any sense. Habala b'Ashram Toloi koi, and you're going to say he's allowed to keep her? Omer Sheish is obviously not. But you see what's unique about an Asham Toloi is that the Asham Toloi is a carbon, Sir Richard, maybe just mute yourself, is a carbon that is brought when you feel guilty. If you don't feel guilty, you don't bring a carbon Asham. And as a matter of fact, remember the Shita that holds that since Jews always feel guilty, they could bring a carbon ashram every day, even though they don't know why they're feeling guilty. I must have done something wrong. So it's a completely different type of carbon. Therefore, if the aide himself marries her, he says, look, man, I personally know that this guy is dead. I saw him die. I don't care what these other guys say. So then we don't have to worry about the question of what his personal status is in this issue. He's got no problems. He knows that this woman is not married. Now you're telling me from an objective point of view, we shouldn't allow her to marry. We didn't allow her to marry. We allowed her to marry when she was muteret. We're not mechuyev to go back and take her away from him if there won't be a problem in his sleeping with her. What do you mean? No. Why are we only interested in his problems? How about her? How are we allowing her to remain married to a guy when every time she sleeps with him, she's going to be chayevet in an ashram toloi? What is this? It's only a man's world? I mean, what's going on over here? So, you know, it takes two to tango. So why in the world is she muteres to stay? What about he gufa ba'ashem toloi kaima, right? No, it's talking about be'omered boriani. She says, I am absolutely sure that he's dead. Now, this is fascinating because Rashi says that the reason that she says, I'm absolutely sure that he's dead, because what she says is, my lover boy would never have been able to stay away if he were alive. He would turn heaven and earth upside down to get back to me. And if he didn't, he is definitely dead. Tosfos says, I mean, what kind of being positive is that, right? It's really a Tosfos Rishonim, but many other Rishonim say, I mean, what do you mean? Because she's infatuated and she believes in Loverboy, where meanwhile Loverboy's found himself another woman and is pretending to have disappeared from the face of the earth. That we should consider to be enough to get married on? That's a laugh. But you see, the point is, so in other words, it would have to mean that she researched it and people told her, whatever, you know, like the things that we said before, that normally an isha is mivarer, you know? But the truth is that Rashi is simply taking the idea of Ashem Toloi to even this extent. I don't care why you don't feel nervous about what you're doing. You have a right to actually determine the way the universe looks to you and how you relate to it, which is not machayev us in terms of its objective reality, because we already were not to you to get married. So now what's our problem? But you're going to be chayevet and Ashem Toloi, and the mela ipso facto, it's, you're going to be over each time. Not true. I'm not. But you're such a silly woman. You know how many guys go around claiming to be dead just to collect insurance? Halachas kama v'kama, they claim to be dead to get rid of their wives. She's not prepared to hear that. Okay. So then according to Rashi, that's fine. The bottom line is, there's no Ashem Toloi. It's fascinating, my focus, right? Okay. So, Bomer Borili, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Shnayim, what do we have a case like this? We've got Shnayim Omri Meit. We said, Shnayim Omri Lo Meit. And we said, of course, she's not allowed to marry. But if she does, then she doesn't have to get divorced. Okay. But what about, says Rabbi Yochanan, if two of the Edim said that she had gotten divorced and two of them said that she did not get divorced, in that case, obviously she can't go ahead and get married. But in that case, even if she had married, she has to get divorced from the second husband. Now, what's the difference? Isn't that basically exactly the same situation? In each case, Reisha and Seifa, we have Hakasha of Edim and we're saying, we're not mechayev her to get away from her husband. So what's the difference? Machna Reisha, machna Seifa. Omer Abaye, you know, what we need to understand is that this is something of a misquote. Rabbi Yochanan didn't mean that there were shnayim in each direction. He meant there was a total of shnayim. We're talking about over here, one witness said that her husband had died, and one witness said that her husband was still alive. So in that case, we have a very special situation. Why? Because remember, the halacha is that when an eid echad comes, when a husband has disappeared and says that the husband has died, what's the din? The din is that we're mater her even against her cheskas eish esish. Why? Because we have that whole idea of it because of the problem of how committed we were to being making sure that we wouldn't have agunot. So we said, "Bitoch chumra shechmarta aleha b'sofa hekalta aleha b'tchilata." Right? Does that apply to gerushin? No. It applies only because of the fact that she is also going to do a very good job of making sure with private investigators and so on that he really died because of the consequences if he comes back. So now think about that. Would that apply to Gerushin? No, says Rabbi Yochanan, because look, if she claims that I know that he's dead and goes and gets married, and now he walks into the room, okay? She can't very well turn to him and say, you are dead, go back to the grave. It's not going to help her. Masha Enkein, if she says he gave me a divorce, And then he turns up and says, what are you talking about? I never gave you a divorce. What are you doing with this guy? She can say, oh, you changed your mind, did you? You finally realize how wonderful. Too late now, buddy. So she can always claim that the fact that he's here doesn't prove anything. He divorced me then. Therefore, she doesn't have anything to fear in terms of his showing up. It's not going to be such a disaster because big deal. So he showed up. So he's a big liar. Therefore, it's talking about over here, kidu'ula. Since there's a halach that if one witness is ne'eman, like two witnesses, that over there, if you have one witness that is makrish, the single witness, there the Torah believed one. In this case, we say the Torah believed. We mean that the Chachamim defined the halacha in this way, that koma kom sheheminat Torah ed echad, it's the equivalent of being two witnesses, because this is the ne'emanus of witnesses. And therefore, arekan shnayim, the one who comes along and is makrish them and says, no, he didn't die. Who cares about him? He's a single witness. The other guy may look like a single witness, but he's two witnesses, la halacha. And therefore, ein dvarav shel echad b'makom shnayim. So therefore, we don't have a problem with forcing her to get divorced in the case of mate. Wait a minute. So then if you're telling me that it was one witness, then why do you say she should not get married? But if she did, what do you mean? Why should she not get married in the first place? I mean, what Ula was saying is true. There's two witnesses, so to speak, that say that she's Buteret. One witness that says she's Asura. Ein dvarav shel echad b'makom shnayim, and everything should be clear. So let her get married lechatchila. Why only if she got married? That's something else. That the reason Rabbi Yochanan said she should not get married, even though Rav Ashi is explaining the case as being one eight is equivalent to two, is because Rav Ashi, as Rav Ashi put it, is that even where something may be 100% mutter, if people will not understand why it's mutter, do not do it. Because haser mimecha ikshut peh ulazut sefatayim harchek mimecha. Since the Torah insists that you have to not give people an opportunity to say things about you, and over here, if she goes in and publicly marries someone after another eight came along and said that her husband is alive, people will say, what? She went in and got married after it was a witness. Now, they don't know the din of Ula, that the first witness has a din of two witnesses. What do they know from that? They're Stam Amaratzim. And they have something to gossip about. And obviously, this is going to be the big gossip for the next 20 years. Every time she walks into the makolet, there's the adulteress. So you're not allowed to do that. That's all. Basha Einkein, let me finish what I was trying to explain, says Abaye. Okay, now you understand that part. So now Basha Einkein, the seifa, I mean, remember, I came along to explain the difference between the reish and the seifa. You interrupted me. So now this seifa, which is talking about the gerishin over there, we don't have such halacha as Eid Echad being neman by the gerishin. Why don't we? Because we don't have the idea that the woman is desperate to avoid the consequences of her husband showing up. Because there, if Eid Echad Omer Nidgarsha, the Eid Echad Omer Lo Nidgarsha. The bottom line is we've got two witnesses who are saying this woman was an Eishes Ish. And the one who says that she was Nidgarsha is one Eid. And we have two witnesses that are agreeing that she had a Chazok of an Eishes Ish. So it's in the opposite direction. The Ein Dvarav Shel Echad B'Mokom Shnayim. So everything works out fine. Now, Rava, of course, has his standard response to these kind of answers of Abaye, where Abaye says, well, even though it says two, it means one. And as we know, Rava usually says, that is a wonderful answer, except for the unfortunate fact that it says two. Okay, so here too, Rava, of course, has to answer it as Leolam Treva training. Of course, we're talking about what Rabbi Yochanan said. He said two witnesses. He means two witnesses. And what is the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. Rabbi Yochanan was Mekabel Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi's words when it comes to the cases of Gerishin, but not to the cases of Misa. So we said before that, So we said before that when we have a difference between the two Eidim, and we had a Hakasha. So over there we said that Rabbi Nachum Bar Yossi says that she does have to leave her husband. Unless we said that she went ahead betom levav and she did this. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan said, yes, I think he's right. Rabbi Nachum Bar Yossi is right. She does need to get divorced. But not in the case of Misa. So I hold like the Tanakama, who goes Lakula, and I hold like Rabbi Nachum Bar Yossi if the issue is divorce. Why? As we saw ourselves before, my Taima, because there's a big difference between the two. Mita eina yechola mekachashto. If the guy walks into the room, she cannot say to him, you are dead. But if he walks into the room and claims he never divorced her, she can, in fact, say, you're a liar, because his presence doesn't prove a darn thing. Wait a minute. Remember we had the halacha before that a woman doesn't have the brazenness to say straight to the face of her husband, you divorced me, when he didn't divorce her. So what do you mean she could always say you're a liar? I thought we said she would never say such a thing. So mi chatzifa kulehai, you're saying that she has such incredible chutzpah? Didn't Rav Amnuna say before that we can even rely on a chazaka that she won't do that? It says, if anan sahade, that ha'isha she'amra leba'ala, straight to his face, gerashtani, ne'emenet. Why? Because we have a chazaka that ein isha me'iza paneha bifnei ba'ala. And you're telling me, well, if he would walk in, we would just basically... she would say to his face, you divorced me. We don't say such things. We don't say such things where she's not backed up by witnesses. Of course, it's totally different in this situation. Witnesses came to the best. They said that she's divorced. So what do you think she's going to do? She's been dying to get rid of this bum for years. So now she's going to really do a lot of research. What is their research? She is going to say, well, here's my big chance. And if he walks in, I say to him, what, this is me saying that I'm divorced? Here's the witnesses saying that I'm divorced. Yeah, but it's Akasha. Bah! You're the liar. Okay, so in that case, of course, she's been waiting for this opportunity. That's only Hani Miliyecha the Leka Edim the Kamisayela. She's very happy to be a chutzpanyak, and she will take advantage of any possibilities. Rav Asi says, I've got another explanation. Okay, I heard what you said, Rava, that the question is the difference between being able to be makrish or being terrified that he'll show up. I heard Abaye, who claims that when he said two witnesses, he didn't mean two witnesses on each side, which I don't like either. So I have a very simple explanation. I say that it's talking about where the Eidim say, Akshav mate, Akshav girsha. This is something that took place this morning. Now, when they say that he died this morning, they don't say that there's a medical examiner's certificate or that he died in such and such a hospital or in such and such a place. What they say is we were on a boat together and we saw him drown. Or what they say is we were walking along the road and a lion ate him up. Okay. Oh, what happened? I don't know. We ran after the lion was chewing on his heart. But okay, so that you're not going to be able to discover by looking up the police records, right? So that's what happened. Therefore, mita leka livarore. There's no way. We have no way to know what's going on. So therefore, we have bidiavad. As long as she's married to one of the witnesses, that she could say that they can get married. Otherwise, we have absolutely nothing to do. But gerishin, we can be mevarer. We say to her, listen, you want to get married. You got divorced this morning. That's what the Adam say. Where the heck is the get? Oh, gosh, I don't remember where I put it. Yeah, right. Between this morning and now, you either present your get or get out. Tanarabon, Shnayim Omrim Nitkatsha, Shnayim Omrim Lo Nitkatsha. Now, how about another set of issues where the Hakhasha is whether she had accepted Kedushin or not? So then she should not marry, but if she does, Lo Tetze. Masha Einkade, if two witnesses say she was divorced and two witnesses say she was not divorced, there, she not only could she not get married, obviously, but if she does, she has to get divorced. What's the difference between saying she accepted Kedushin or saying that she got divorced? How come in the first case she's allowed to remain married, and in the second case she's not allowed to remain married? Omer Abaye, Targuma Be'ed Echad. Look, you know, my favorite approach to this is that the Braisa, even though it says, hey, uh-oh, Baruch Avram, you are losing your struggle. It's been a long, hard struggle. But to lose it right at the end just seems to be a shame. It's almost victory, and you're putting up a white flag. So Abaye says, okay, what we're really talking about is an Eid Echad. So the idea is like this. If two witnesses are being makrish each other, Eid Echad Omer Nitkatsha, the Eid Echad Omer Lo Nitkatsha, what's the bottom line of the commonality between these two witnesses is that up until this moment of my Eidus, she is a Cheskas Pnuya. They both say that. One of them is saying that that Chazaka changed, and the other one is saying, no, that Chazaka didn't change. So since Tarvayo Bipnuya Kamisahade, both of them, this is Abaye's favorite Svara, this is what he said before in order to explain Rabbi Yochanan. So both of them are basically saying she has a Chazaka that she can be married. One of them is claiming that that Chazaka changed, and Ein Dvar Rav Shel Echad B'Makom Shnayim. Mashenkin, in the second case, where we have the two Edim are both agreed that she was married. One of them says that she got divorced. So over there, what's the situation? Tarvayu be'eshet ishka mesahade. There, both of them agree that up until this point, she was becheskas iser. She was an eshes ish. So now we've got one aid against two Edim, including himself, so to speak. And Ein Dvarav Shel Echad B'Mokom Shnayim. This is my approach, and it's consistent with my approach until now.